L-E-D-E-N-E-T.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's enjoying this beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Tim Hasselbeck coming up at high noon, our weekly chat with him. But right now we bring in somebody we have loved to talk to over the years, former Titans and Ravens safety, Bernard Pollard, is on the line with us on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And you can follow him on Twitter. It's free and easy to do, at CrushBoy31. Bernard, how you doing?
I'm good. How y'all doing?
We're doing fantastic. Want to get your thoughts, just because this season the defense has not performed for the Titans the way everybody expected them to, and the missing ingredient is a guy that you played for in Dean Pease. And I just want to know that dynamic of a defensive coordinator and what you think of really not having that element this season. Big deal, not a big deal for this Titans defense?
Well, I definitely think it's a big deal. I think, you know, a lot of people have seen the importance of a seasoned play caller, a guy that's been around, understands the game, understands how to put his playmakers in position, understands how to game plan. Coach Pease is fantastic. Obviously, you know, winning the Super Bowl with him in Baltimore. Just saw him last week. So, you know, Coach Pease is just, you know, he's phenomenal at what he does. And I think, you know, when you look at the Titans defense and you look at situational downs and you look at just kind of some of the, you know, some of the places that, you know, or positions the guys have been put in, they have not won those battles. They have not won those downs. They have not won these games. They've been exposed, if you would say. And, you know, they got to be better as far as coaching and playing.
He didn't happen to mention that he's really itching to come back and he's bored out of his mind. He didn't happen to say that, did he?
Coach Pease always wants to coach football, man. But I think, you know, a lot of people don't understand the toll it takes on your body for coach, you know, and just the time away from family and everything else. And I mean, that's as crazy as we're coach. That's how it's even worse for a player. So
you're another guy that understands the dynamic of leadership in a room. And I want you to tell us and our listeners, big deal, not a big deal, when you lose guys like Wesley Woodyard and Logan Ryan and Jarrell Casey, on guys on that side of the ball that certainly had an influence on people in the room, and now all those guys are removed, and Is that a big deal, not a big deal? Because certainly you saw that firsthand in Baltimore for sure. How much is that needed in a room, in your opinion?
It's a big deal. I think Wesley Willier is I mean, one of my all-time favorite teammates. And I might not have told him this enough, but he's a guy where you respect him on and off the football field. He put in the time. He put in the work. You know, as far as taking care of his body, his mental, to understand the game and to make sure he was, you know, relaying all of that to his players. But you look at when you miss all of those pieces at once. It's not like, you know, 1 year, you know, one guy left, another year, another guy left. All those guys are gone at one time. So Logan Ryan, when you look at the secondary, he's a guy where you're like, man, dang, like that's a piece that they need at the nickelback position. That's a piece that they need at the cornerback position. That's a piece they need in that room to keep everybody under control, to remind them as far as situational football. He's a smart player. He's an instinctive player. He understands where to go, how to do it, how to communicate that. That's definitely a piece. Jarrell Casey is a guy that I think was, you know, can move anywhere on the defensive line and wreak havoc. But I also at the same time, with what you're, you know, missing out of the middle or even missing on the sideline to be able to congratulate those guys coming on and off the football field, to be able to talk about adjustments and everything else, you know, that's a coach on the sideline as well. That's a coach in the game. And when you miss all three of those pieces, man, that's a big hit to your team, not only your defense, but to your team. So, you know, replacing that is hard. When you miss pieces like that, when you try to replace that, it's very difficult to find those guys in the draft and to find those guys in free agency.
Bernard Pollard on the line with us. A guy that's received a lot of praise over the years is Greg Roman. But I also have heard, Bernard, that once you figure out his system, that he has a hard time veering off his system and, I guess, adding new wrinkles, making adjustments. It's like, here's my playbook, here's what I do, and this is what I'm sticking to. I've heard that. You had to game plan against him in the Super Bowl. You're obviously very familiar with Greg Roman. People are starting to say that, like, okay, what's different about this Ravens offense this year? And I've heard people make comments about Greg Roman. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's funny that you talk about that, and I know a lot of people in Baltimore, if they can kill me, if they can murder me and get away with it, I think they would definitely try. But, you know, they're pissed off, man, about the fact that, you know, I've talked about the Baltimore Ravens, and you know, just because I play for a football team doesn't mean that, you know, I just talk good about them and I lie about their football team. I like the game of football. I want to talk about football. When you talk about the Baltimore Ravens, everybody want to come down on Greg Roman. Everybody's talking about how Greg Roman isn't doing this or doing that. We got to stop for a minute right now, because we have to understand Greg Roman installed and created an offense for Lamar Jackson. So when you create an offense for a specific player to be able to succeed in that offense, you are limited at adjustments. You're limited at certain things that you can do because the player that you are coaching or you created it for is limited in his ability to be able to do things. And so we can blame Greg Roman, but at the same time, Lamar Jackson needs to get a lot of the blame. And the reason why I say we can blame Greg Roman, I'm not going to talk about Harbaugh, because Harbaugh doesn't know and understand what's going on. And people might take that as a shocker. They might say it's hate. John Harbaugh knows nothing about offense or defense. He's a special teams guy. So when we talk about the Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson cannot – I tell a lot of people all the time, if we look at Lamar Jackson, what is he doing as far as – where is his growth at? Everybody's talking about he grew from last year to this year. Where's the growth? I don't see it, and a lot of defensive coordinators don't see it. What the Baltimore Ravens are saying is, we're going to go out with our play. Lamar Jackson, if all hell breaks loose, our number 8 is better than your 11 players on the football field. And that's true 95% of the time. Number 8 is dynamic in his athleticism and his ability to be able to run. I believe he's an average passer. And what I tell people about the growth, going back to the growth, he's not calling out any assignments. He has a freaking mouthpiece that covers his mouth. There's no adjustments. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't swing the offensive line this way or that way. He doesn't know how to do that. So Greg Roman is limited in his play calling on what he can do with Lamar Jackson. So when we all blame Greg Roman, we got to go look at the product on the football field in Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, and I think they're doing him a disservice. because they're not teaching him those things. They're saying, go out and run that play no matter what. I'm looking at guys that are overloaded in the box, guys that he should be checking, but he's not. They're running their play and saying, if all hell breaks loose, Lamar, just run. And I don't think that's fair to Lamar. I don't think it's fair to blame everything on Greg Roman. This is a collective effort with the Baltimore Ravens. They knew what they were getting themselves into. And you can't do anything when guys don't adjust, when guys don't talk. You get used to what they're doing offensively.
We're talking to Bernard Pollard for, of course, this is a great week to talk to him. He has such great background with the Titans and the Ravens as they get set to go head-to-head. Bernard,
By the way, I was like, this is radio. I was sitting there in like a robe, and I just lit my pipe when I was listening to him. I mean, yeah, Bernard was on a roll. That was good. Oh, good stuff.
So, Bernard, let's take it a step further. The Titans, it's been obviously very frustrating to watch them defensively because they've been basically just picked apart 10 yards at a time. But this Ravens offense, as you just sort of described, is definitely different. They're not the type of team that's going to sit back and hit the matchups and find the weak link. Is this a better matchup somehow for the Titans D?
I do. I think this is a game where defensively you can kind of get some confidence back because athletically, as far as front seven-wise, I think that they can go out there and play with anybody. I think when it comes down to the secondary, they're not going to get that typical spread offense or that typical quarterback that can come in and make the checks and adjust to, you know, where I have watched the Titans games, and I'm looking at games where guys are playing far off. I'm looking at, you know, I'm trying to understand what they're doing in the back end. So this is one of those games where they're going to be able to get some of that swagger back and just, you know, Lamar Jackson or this offense, they want to throw the ball directly in front of him. That's the easiest stroke for him. So I think, you know, for the linebackers, for the safeties, I think this can be a huge game for them. You know, so I look at this football game and I say this is probably one game where I think offensively and defensively, and we got to hope that special teams doesn't break apart because, you know, it's hard to put that back together when that third unit is not carrying their weight.
I'm glad you mentioned the play – playing off and giving up the underneath stuff. That has come under a lot of criticism, and a lot of former players are the ones that are pointing it out, and not just yourself, Bernard. So I always think about it. I was a basketball player, and it's like if I know I can't guard a guy one-on-one tight, I know I've got to play off, but I'm going to give up the outside shot, and if the guy can shoot, I'm in big trouble. But so what do you see? What's the right balance? If you don't have a Dory Jackson and you don't have Christian Fulton, you know, some of the guys they hope they would have back there, what do you do if you just don't quite have the speed to play tight? Or should they be doing it more than they are?
Well, you know, I think going into this game, knowing and understanding what the Baltimore Ravens have. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, they want to ground and pound. They want to play bully football. Obviously, with them losing the tight end in last week's game, they're going to be limited in what they can do, or even bringing a guy in off the street, or even bringing a guy in that doesn't have the experience. They're going to have to try to put a guy in that can run the run packages like Baltimore has been running. So I think when it comes down to the secondary for the Tennessee Titans, they don't have a receiver that can really do much. And a lot of people have been talking about that for Baltimore, saying Lamar Jackson doesn't have the pieces. He doesn't have this receiving core. No, if Lamar Jackson had the receiving core, it would be an argument every single day in Baltimore's locker room, because Lamar Jackson can't get top receivers the ball. If the kid that they just brought in, the guy from Dallas Cowboys, the receiver who got hurt, but they end up getting him back.
Yeah, Dez Bryant.
If Dez Bryant gets healthy and is able to do what he's been doing in the National Football League, that's an argument waiting to happen, because Dez Bryant is not just going to run slants and run across the middle. Right now they got guys that they drafted, guys that they brought in. Willie Snead is probably the best receiver that they got, but he's limited in his route running ability. So I think this is a plus for the Tennessee Titans defensive secondary because you can go in, you can get in their face, press them. I think, you know, playing by your back, letting Byer get you're going to have overthrows this week. You're going to have errant passes, but balls are going to be directly across the middle. So if Byer does not leave this game with two interceptions, if the Baltimore Ravens defense, the Tennessee Titans defense doesn't get three-plus interceptions, it's going to be a shame because they have to take advantage of this passing game that's limited in what they can do. You know, so I don't see anybody that the Titans should be afraid of. because from the receiver standpoint, if they did have a guy, they don't have a quarterback that can get it to him. But, you know, with them having a quarterback, they still don't have a receiver that can do multiple things in the passing game against them.
Let's flip to the other side. We know how deadly the play action and the crossing routes have been for the Titans offense. A.J. Brown is so good at catching a ball and changing directions explosively and then running after the catch. Corey Davis excels in the crossing game. But is it fair to say, Bernard, I know the answer before I ask it, but I enjoy hearing you talk about this part of it because it illustrates how much the game has changed. Is it fair to say you couldn't run that kind of offense back when in the prime of your career because of the heat that you would take over the middle on some of these routes they're running?
Oh, definitely. I mean, guys coming across the middle, especially if it was five yards and in, you were getting hit if you came across the middle. But, I that's not today's NFL. Today's NFL, they want to see scoring. They want to see offense. They want to see explosive plays from the offensive standpoint. Defensive players are penalized with – if they sneeze wrong, they're penalized. It's just one thing. This game has always kind of been offensively, teeter to the offense, and it's that way, that much more now in today's football. So, I think when you look at the Tennessee Titans, man, Davis is having an outstanding year. I think he's having an outstanding year. A.J. Brown is phenomenal. He's a physical presence on the field. I just think he needs to be a little more consistent. They need more. They need blocking. They're going to have to block better offensively on the offensive line. So Tanner Hill can get back to what he did last year and then get back to those explosive plays. But I think this can potentially be a game with the Baltimore Ravens because they're going to play zero coverage. They're going to get into their faces. They're going to challenge the receivers because they're going to say, Tanner Hill, we're going to make you make tight throws. Which I think there should be four or five plus explosive plays, 20 yards or more in this game for the Tennessee Titans. But we got to look at two that bell cow and Derrick Henry. They're going to have to get him going, and I don't think that's going to. I don't see it being a problem, but we'll see.
Bernard Pollard is with us, former NFL safety and now avid NASCAR fan as well. You brought up AJ Brown. What is it that you see that makes you think, okay, yeah, there is another level, and then what is it that he needs to do to get to more of that, I'm not going to say elite status, but a true number one wide receiver for this team?
I mean, it's got to be one of those things when you look at what Arthur is doing offensively. He needs – I think A.J. Brown needs to separate himself now. When a game opens – he needs to be the guy that Tannehill goes to. He needs to be that dude. And I think right now, I think we all can agree Corey Davis has kind of been that guy. With them missing some other pieces at the receiver position, Corey Davis has been balling. But I think if A.J. Brown wants that, the consistency with catching those contested footballs, being the guy that Tannehill goes to when you open up the passing game, as far as the having the O.C., create plays for you to get you open to catch footballs, winning those battles. He needs to take a step forward and wanting to be that guy, but then creating the competition between him and Corey Davis. Because once again, Corey Davis, the contract wasn't picked or his option wasn't picked up, and this guy is balling right now. He's saying, you know what, if you didn't pick up the option, I'm going to make you pay for that. And, so he's having a great year, but A.J. Brown's going to have to do something to separate himself in that receiver room, on the football field. He's got to be a guy that defenses fear, and I think he's a guy that defenses fear, but at the same time, as the game get going, they're looking like, we can kind of let off a little bit because this dude ain't doing what we think he's capable of doing. So there we go.
You saw Arthur Smith firsthand as an assistant when you were here with the Titans, and then we've seen him over the past year and a half really grow as a play caller. Now his name is mentioned as a potential head coaching candidate. So from your eyes, what have you seen in his development that might make you think he's ready for that next step?
I mean, I'm one of those dudes, man, where I just was just talking on Twitter with the Chiefs put some stuff up about Todd Haley, and as you talk about Arthur, Arthur is phenomenal at what he's doing. I think Arthur still has a lot to learn. When it comes down to, dealing with the football team, leading a football team, calling plays, understanding the players and being successful. I think he needs a couple more years of success, before we talk about putting him in a head coaching role. That role, man, I think, for us as a society, when we look at sports and everything else, we want to quickly, you know, project somebody into a role and put them in a position of leadership as far as the head coach being an overseer of a football team. And I don't know if Arthur's there yet. Obviously, I have not been around Arthur the last few years, but, you know, I doubt, you know, what I've known of him and everything else and what I see on the sideline have changed. But, you know, I'm not saying that he's not good. I'm not saying that he's not capable. I just say maybe a couple more years in an OC position, learning and understanding, and getting, like I said, gaining a couple more years of success and just figuring players out and doing his thing before we put him in that position, I think would do him justice before throwing him there. And then we see just a humongous breakup. And, you know, then he goes back to either being an offensive coordinator or being an assistant somewhere.
Bernard, leave us with this. I know that you've gotten to do a lot of cool things with racing as you've become a fan of NASCAR. You got to interview Jimmy Johnson, the 7-time champion who just called it a NASCAR career. What were some takeaways from being able to talk to the 7-time champ?
Ah, man, an awesome example. A dude that handled everything with grace. Obviously, I don't know him like that off the track. As I tell my kids and I tell people all the time, we don't know the athlete that we're praising. You know, we're just talking about what he's done on the track, football field, court, he or she has done, you know, in their prospective sports or whatever. He's a guy, man, where I've gained a lot of respect for. We actually just did a couple Zoom calls yesterday with some kids in North Carolina as far as the schools. And it was just phenomenal being able to hear his story, being able to hear him, you know, try to relate to the kids and talk to them and give them, you know, some wisdom on how to live life and how to do things professionally. You know, this guy handled, you know, his career with grace. And I mean, he's moving to another career as far as another racing career. And I mean, I have no doubt that this guy is going to be able to understand what he's doing and try to get to the top of that. So, man, it's just been awesome being able to learn this sport. I don't have it all, you know, understood yet. But, you know, I got enough to where I can kind of hold a conversation. But I mean, learning has just been so much fun. It's been totally opposite of what's been told to me. Oh, you know, my growing up, you know, from a young boy, has been totally opposite. And it's just truly been a blessing for me.
Well, it's fun to watch for sure. And see you on iRacing as well. So appreciate the time today as always, my man.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you for having me.
Bernard Pollard, former Titans, Ravens, and played in other places as well, safety in the National Football League. Always enjoy our conversations with him. We'll have more on the Titans and Ravens matchup coming up this week. But first, it's my time to tell you about BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks. And they have a lot of different things to draw you in. They want new customers. I have been a customer since they launched in our state, and I have been very successful. I told you about my big parlay that I hit over the weekend. Well, you can do the same thing. All you have to do is download the app or go to BetMGM.com. They're inviting new customers to get a piece of the action with Instant Match. Sign up today, get your first deposit instantly doubled with up to $500 in free bets when you enter the bonus code INSTANT1025GAME. Then get ready to turn big plays into paydays with the most innovative parlay selection tools available, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. It's the same people. You've heard about MGM before. It's the same people that have the hotels, casinos, and sports books on the Las Vegas Strip. They are now running this app right here in our state. Download the BetMGM app today or go to BetMGM.com and use the bonus code INSTANT1025GAME to get your first deposit match with up to $500 in free bets. If it's game day in Tennessee, it's showtime at BetMGM, the official sports betting partner of the Tennessee Titans. You must be 21 years or older. You must be in Tennessee. Visit BetMGM.com for full lists of terms and conditions. For problem gambling support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joints. Smoother than smooth. Don't forget, Corner Pub is the place, Titans fans, for you to check out. Locations in Bellevue, Brentwood, and downtown. Great beer specials, including $1 off Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Don't forget this Sunday, leading you up to Titans and Ravens. Our pregame show will be at the one in Bellevue. So out in Bellevue this Sunday from 9:30 until 11:30 a.m., getting you ready for that game. Of course, the pregame show featuring Jared Stillman, the GM Floyd Reese, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. And that's brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Good stuff from Bernard Pollard. We are not surprised. He's always been outspoken when coming on with us. He's always been outspoken, period. And it was pretty interesting because I didn't know where he was going to go when I asked about the Greg Roman stuff, and he laughed. And you never know what that laugh means. Does that laugh mean he goes, man, you know, Greg Roman, all this hype about him, I don't know what the big deal is, he's not very good, or is it something else? It was something else. He put this more on Lamar Jackson than the OC Greg Roman. At least that's what I took from it.
And I think if you take it a step further, it sounds like Bernard feels like the Titans won't be as much at a disadvantage just because of the way the Ravens run their offense. Now, he could still run wild on them, and they do their thing. But at least the Titans' defense is probably not in the position they've been in the last few weeks, where they have just been carved up by the short passing game. They've just been killed by that, by Roethlisberger, Rivers, and Burrow, right? Those three guys just ate them up little by little with the short passing game. That's sort of not the MO by the Ravens. They don't have the receivers, and Lamar Jackson, they do it a different way. It's obvious, right? They're different in how they've done it. They've been awesome how they've done it, but it hasn't been clicking as much. So it's an interesting theory that we've been floating around all week. Is this a little bit of a better matchup for the Titans defense than what we've seen in the past few weeks?
Well, and that I think would be tremendous, because he used that word confidence, that you can try, the Titans defense can build their confidence up.
Yeah, he thinks you can play them tighter.
Yeah, and I think that would be huge. But we've also thought that, you know, about much lesser teams than the Ravens, and they haven't been able to really do it. So it that goes in line with the whole inconsistency on the defensive side of the ball for the Titans.
I think this is a game you've got to try to do what you did in the playoffs. And this is a team, the Ravens, they do not play well from behind. If you can find a way to jump on them early and grab that lead, which is exactly what they did in the playoffs, they punched them in the mouth right out of the gates, and Baltimore never could recover. I mean, they just are not good playing catch-up. They are a good lead horse. They love to be out in front, but they are not good playing catch-up, and they need to find a way to grab punch them in the mouth again. Wouldn't everybody love to start off 14-0? But I'm not saying that because, yeah, everybody would sign up to do that. But they need to find a way to take control early on and make the Ravens play catch-up, because I don't think they're very comfortable in that spot. And I just think this is one of those games. And, oh, by the way, it's the third week in November. Like, isn't this the time when you unleash the beast? I mean, isn't this the time when you go to the stables and it's time to get that thoroughbred going? I mean, this is the time of year when he takes off, right? So this is the time when I think you cram it down their throat. Teams have been running on Baltimore this year. We just saw it Sunday night, and they were not the first team to do it. Other teams have been running on Baltimore. So to me, it's 22 time.
And I think that's going to happen. He's 54 yards away from 1,000. Already, and I will use the G word. I guarantee he's gonna get over that this week. I think he gets 54 yards or more against Baltimore, because they know it works.
If he doesn't, it's gonna be a long day.
Yeah, exactly. And he's at 201 carries on the year so far, but I mean, you know what you have in him, and you know that he's got to be that catalyst that runs your offense. You know, Willie, you've brought up the play action quite a bit. He makes the play action work, and it works for this team. It makes Ryan Tannehill be able to complete a lot of these passes because defenses know that they have to watch out for Henry. So it's very tough to defend when they go to that package that Arthur Smith calls. But yeah, I agree. It worked in the playoffs. I witnessed it. It was crazy but he absolutely tore through them, and I have no reason to believe that he's not going to be able to get it going Sunday.
Well, let's go back to the playoff game just to remind people. I'm sure people generally remember this, but Derrick Henry, 30 carries for 195 yards. He took over, especially in the second half. He had some great stiff arms, and it just, you know, he just buried him. Ryan Tannehill only had 88 passing yards in the entire game, right? He had a couple of decisive throws. And, of course, Derrick Henry had a touchdown pass. Remember the leaping Tim Tebow pass that he had for a touchdown? But Tannehill hit the big pass to Khalif Raymond for 45 yards and a touchdown. So they had the timely passes, but they actually didn't have to throw it that much. And on the other side, Lamar Jackson and his crew, they had the ball a lot. He threw for 365. He ran for 143. So it's not like they shut him down, but they contained him. And at the key times, they were able – they bent – but that was where the bend but don't break worked really well, because they got a couple of turnovers. They intercepted him twice. They stopped him on fourth down a couple of times. That is how you draw it up with the bend but don't break. So I wonder how it's going to look this year with a different defensive coordinator, obviously a different group of personnel here. How different is it going to look? I suspect it'll look different.
Do you guys believe in patterns?
Sure.
Okay, so here's one that I know.
You talking about like home ownership, home design patterns?
No, not that kind of
wallpaper.
Pattern. Statistical patterns.
Oh, okay, sorry.
We all know, Willie, you do not follow those patterns.
No, I don't.
That is a no for you, and probably a no for the three of us.
In the 10 games that the Titans have played this year, Derrick Henry has literally alternated. He's the first game he was over 100, and then he was under 100. Then he was over 100, then he was under 100. Then he was over 200, then under 100. Over 100, under, over. So if you stick with the pattern, he will go under 100 yards this week, which is probably not good.
I don't believe
that happens,
patterns.
They're not winning.
But I don't believe in patterns in that respect.
So you just needed to hear that before you answered.
Well, I don't think there's any true pattern to that. It's just that's coincidence. I don't think there's any real reason that's happening.
But I said that he would get over 54 yards. The lowest number of yards he's had was against Buffalo for 57 this year.
And there's an obvious reason for that. They got way ahead.
Yep.
And they didn't really need to use him.
He only had 19 carries.
That's where they've done a good job, I think, this year. Ryan Tannehill, I just caught a quote of his. They've been doing some media availability this hour. You know, he admitted, Tannehill, that by design, they're trying to take some things off his plate so they don't overuse him, which is very, very smart. But you got to use him when you need to use him. And if they need to give it to him 25 or 30 times in this game, I think they will. But I think it's smart in situations where you can pull back the reins, either you're way ahead or you're way behind, and you save them four or five carries. That saves the tank, I think, for when you're really going to need them.
You think 25 to 30?
Well, it depends on how the game goes. If they fall behind 17-0, I don't think that'll be the case.
See, I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I think that Arthur Smith has shown that even though they've fallen behind at times, they stick with Henry because they know that it can eventually spark the rest of the offense and get the play action going. So now it depends on, you know, how quickly they were to fall behind and at what point in the game. But that's one thing that I've been curious about is they will stick with him at times when traditionally it might tell you not to. So I think it all just depends on...
And the beauty of that is that he can hit a home run.
Right.
I think of the Chiefs game last year where they're not down by 17, but if you're down by, say, 10, two scores, you know, you can keep running it. And last year that's what they did, and he hit the long one, right? Or the Texans game where they had the really bad third quarter. What got him out of it? He hits a home run and goes all the way. So that's the beauty of him. Is he's not just a grind out the clock. He's a guy who could score from anywhere on the field.
Yeah, I mean, if they're down 10-0 at the half, I still think they're running the football.
No question.
Anybody see this game 10-0 at the half? I don't.
No.
Well, there haven't been
a lot of NFL games. No, you're right about
scoring has been low. Scoring is up.
That's not named the Chicago Bears.
Very true.
I could see their game
or the Jets.
10-0. Yeah. Although the Jets showed a little sign of life in their last game. They scored, what, they hang 27 on the Patriots?
Should have won.
They hung 27 on the Patriots, and Baltimore couldn't even do that. Everybody's been scoring on the Patriots this year.
Yeah, the Patriots D has really dipped. That's yep. Of course, opt-outs and things yep. had something to do with it. But
yeah, I mean, they lost Patrick Chung, Dante Hightower. They opted out.
Those guys are kind of important.
Yeah. Chung might be done.
You think?
Yeah, he's older. He's been around a long time. But then again, so have the McCourty twins, and I think they're my age. So.
Everybody's, you know, age is...
Yeah, Chung's 33, so.
Everybody is different, man.
Yep.
Everybody's body is different. Some guys, you know, 33 feels like 43. Some guys 33 feel like their body's 23. I mean, it's just... There's no way to just look at a number and say, yeah, okay, they're done, or everybody's different, man. Adrian Peterson, look at that. He's a freak.
Still out there. Still going. Frank Gore, still going.
Frank Gore.
Anybody see Jonathan Joseph pop up on the field at
Arizona.
A critical time last week for Arizona? He was in there.
Yep.
He's still going.
I think that was the Buffalo, what they thought was the winning drive. Wasn't he out there?
He was.
Yeah, Frank Gore is 37. That's what's amazing. And his son's playing college.
That's what I'm saying. You can't look at age. You just got to look at the person and know, you know, how they're made up. What are they like, you know, and does their body break down? I mean, some guys, it doesn't matter how old you are. Their body just breaks down all the time. They just can't stay healthy, which has got to be like the worst, right? Especially when you know you're good enough. And your career could be different if you could just stay healthy in any sport. It's just, there's, you know, sports is littered with those guys, and it's unfortunate, but that's just part of it. And I hope that's not what we're talking about with Darrington Evans, right? Right now, his first year, I mean, this draft class has been an absolute zero this year.
Yeah.
I mean, a zero.
But there's still a lot of time for some of those guys. And I think for them to get to 10-6 or to get to a division title, somewhere in here, they need something from some of those guys. And last year it happened, right? Last year they started to get some mileage out of the draft class late in the year, like Nate Davis. But it didn't happen early. So Evans, first thing is get him out there, get him practicing. They've got him activated off the list. Now we'll see how long it takes him to get into a game. But it's right now you sit there going, you're right. They've gotten zero. They've got zero.
Zero. Isaiah Wilson is just, I mean, whew. First round pick, and that's, I mean, it's.
He's a redshirt. He's redshirt.
Yeah,
didn't you hear them announce he's redshirt?
Is he getting that year of eligibility back? Yeah, okay. Red shirt, whatever you want to call it.
He's a red shirt.
Good luck with that. You just today in today's game, you can't be drafting guys. I mean, that's 2 years in a row. And they got lucky that Jeffrey Simmons came back as early as he did, right? I mean, Jeffrey Simmons could easily been that last year.
Yeah, but that was also a little different.
Well, they knew when they drafted
him.
Well,
I know that. I'm just saying, though, you can't go in every year drafting first round picks and going, well, hopefully, you know, 2 years, hopefully they're going to work out.
Right.
You know, you can't. You can't do that.
Well, and I don't think that was really their intention with Isaiah Wilson. He's just
He's been
a knucklehead. There's no other way to put it. He's been a knucklehead. And, you know, Darrington Evans hasn't stayed healthy.
That's a guy where I think those two guys, right? They need something from those two guys, particularly Fulton. Fulton might be the most important of any of them, right?
I would agree. Well, Wilson. Considering what's going on.
We got to be realistic. I don't think they're going to put him in a game anytime soon. But Fulton, you need – because the guys that they're putting in those positions right now are getting the job done.
I mean, Chris Jackson has been pretty solid. I mean, he's, you know, he's a late round pick, but he's been somebody that's helped him. Laurel Murchison has been another one that I've been impressed with. He's made some plays, but
impressed? I don't know. I mean, he's there. He's chipping in. He's in the rotation.
He's made some plays.
I would hesitate to say I've been impressed.
He's made some plays, but those are the only two that you really can say from the draft picks that have done anything. I mean, Isaiah Wilson,
and by doing anything, just being on the field. Because yes, they've been on the field, but they need.
Chris,
I think
Chris
Jackson, no question. I think for him to be playing as much as he has, it says a lot about who they're missing. But
sure,
he has been a nice plug in there.
Yeah,
and Murchison, same thing. He's plugged in. He's done okay. But Fulton is a guy, because of his speed, they desperately need more speed and coverage guys. So they need him. Obviously, I don't know where the Adoree Jackson thing is this week. Someday, hopefully, he's out there. And then, but Wilson, I think if you told them today that the two tackles they're using right now would not get hurt and they wouldn't have to worry about Wilson, I think they'd be okay with that.
Let's go to our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Doug has been waiting patiently. What's up?
Hey, guys. It was really good listening to Pollard. You know, and he's giving it to you straight, no chaser, and holding nothing back on some of the woes of the Titans. And one of the things he talked about was, you know, guys playing off on the backside. And I've played that position before, and some of it is due to a lack of confidence, but most of it's due to a lack of speed. I know that, you know, John Robinson and the coach try to draft character ball players, but on the backside, he's got to be running a 4-3, and he's got to be able to cover. You know, Dory Jackson may be the shutdown corner, but that remains to be seen. Byard's game is off. These guys get beat on the skinny post and the deep ball constantly, and they're playing behind the ball, playing catch-up. You know, I don't know about you guys, but Samari Rowe don't look like he's back there, and there definitely ain't a Pac-Man Jones. Say what you will, Pac-Man Jones could cover. And we've got to do something about getting some speed on the backside, because that's an easy play that the Titans are always going to get beat on.
100%. That's why Jackson and Fulton, you know, they'll help. They're faster than some of the guys that are in there right now. That's why they were drafted where they were, because they can run. But let's see if we can get them in there.
But that's been woes for years on the backside. I mean, Byard, you know, the interceptions got him in the Pro Bowl. Do y'all see him as a Pro Bowl contender right now? Nope.
He hasn't looked himself this year. He set a high standard, a high bar. So.
Oh, he came in early, got picks, you know, went to the house on a couple of balls, and that'll get you in there. But he's just an average dude. He's just a joke.
Well, but how much of it, too, is, you know, what we're just saying, missing, you know, the complementary pieces in the secondary? I think, you know, you're as good as the people around you sometimes.
And that does help on the backside, and plus no pass rush. But, again, you know, I like Pollard's comments. He didn't cut no slack on us. You know, these guys line up playing off the ball. That tells me right there you either lack speed or confidence. And it's just hard to watch it. I don't even listen.
All right, thank
Keep
you,
up
Doug.
Work,
that,
guys.
Thank you. That's something that Keith Bullitt called him out on Twitter. We talked about it. I mean, he's like, why in the world are these guys in the secondary playing so far off the ball? I mean, he pointed it out on Twitter. He's like, I'd be screaming at them if I were still playing. It's a linebacker's job. What was it, the 4th-and-2 play? And he's like 7-8 yards off the ball. They converted it easily. All right, we'll come back. And put a ball. By the way, Tim Hasselbeck going to get pushed to 12:15, some TV duties. Call him. There's a crazy story going on in New York. The Giants fired their offensive line coach. And listen what's getting out. Boy, it is only in New York, right? It feels like. Gosh. We'll come back, wrap up the second hour next. Weekly chat with Tim Hasselbeck at around 12:15 today. Also, should hear from the head coach Mike Vrabel, see what he had to say about them getting ready for their next opponent, the Ravens. He talked today to the media, which is what he does on Wednesday, so we'll have that for you in just a bit as well. There is no shortage of drama in the Big Apple. And listen to this story. So it had come down. I'd seen it, but, you know, okay, whatever. I saw that the Giants had fired their offensive line coach today, and I'm like, oh, okay. You know, we'll get to it. Maybe we'll get to it. Mention that. If
Mark
not,
Colombo.
Whatever. Yeah, Mark Colombo. Okay, whatever. But, of course, I didn't know the backstory on this. And it's now getting out there in New York from the people who cover the Giants that they're being told that Joe Judge, that would be the head coach of the Giants, and Mark Colombo, this coach that we're talking about, got into a fist fight this morning in which Mark Colombo evidently got the better of the head coach, Joe Judge, and Judge fired him instantly. Wow, really? So the head coach gets his butt whipped by the O-line coach and he gets fired immediately. Well, that's shocking to hear.
Yeah. Well, now that's being disputed. There are some others that are putting out that sources are telling them that is absolutely false in every way. However, do we put this under the category of where there's smoke, there's fire? I mean, if that initial story got out there, I mean, is there something to it? I mean, clearly he got fired for a reason, but I don't know. Mark Colombo was a former, and he's been in the league, you know, played in the league for a while, was with the Cowboys. I think he coached with the Cowboys, too, under Jason Garrett. So,
you also, this day and age, you just don't have the media watching practice like they used to.
True.
It used to be pretty easy. Something like that happened, they'd see it.
Well, I don't know if it's being reported happened at practice. It may have just been in the facility, you know. Yeah. Who knows, in the head coach's office. I don't know.
I think that kind of thing, though, is much – well, I guess if it's this morning, I guess they may not have been on the field. I just always think that a fight that breaks out usually is on the field over emotions running high. That's even crazier if it happened within the walls during, you know, a morning planning session or a meeting.
Well, you know how we can tell if it's true or not? When Joe Judge does his media availability, I think we'll be able to decide.
You think he might be asked about that?
Jeez.
They still have a chance to win that division.
Ugh, what a terrible division.
And a just like a lot of teams, they've lost some really close games that they could have and should have won.
I watched them this Sunday beat the Eagles, and I'm like, I've watched the Giants a little bit over the last several weeks. And I'm like, I think they're now the favorite.
They should have. If Evan Engram catches a very well-thrown ball,
yep,
they would have two wins over the Eagles.
Yep.
They completely blew that game. The game that Dak Prescott got hurt, they should have won that game against the Cowboys. So no Giants fans are probably sitting there going, the Tampa Bay game, they might have had a two-point conversion that goes another way. Who knows? That game goes to overtime. The Giants fans are probably sitting there going, geez, we might win this thing.
Boy, wouldn't you love to see the watch the Zoom call today for Joe Judge? Man. I'm not sure you're going to get one question about the opponent.
Or don't you guys want to ask me about the opponent? No.
Well, actually, let's see if he comes out.
Now, this is Media 101. Right, you do have the option as the coach, just coming right out and saying, here's what happened. Right, just get it out there before anybody asks about it and say, I just want to address the situation. Here's what happened this morning. And that would end it, I would think. There'd probably be a couple follow-ups, but that would be better than, does anybody have any questions?
But what if it's all true? Like, how do you say that? How do you package that correctly in New York City?
It's called spin.
How do you do that? Do you just come out and say, yeah, you know, he tagged me with a left and a right?
You tell the truth. I think you tell the truth. That usually works best.
There was an altercation.
Yeah, you're careful on how you choose your words, but I think you try to be accurate.
What happened?
If you cover it up, more people are going to dig, and in that town, people will find out. They're going to go to source two, source three, source four. There's too many media with too many sources. They'll figure it out.
You're not in Tuscaloosa trying to get a scoop on Nick Saban and one of his coaches.
That's well said. You can, in college, you might be able to sweep it and keep it under wraps where nobody finds out.
Although Blake Topmeyer in Knoxville, nobody's really seems to be keeping things from him lately. He seems to have all the stories right now going on with contracts. When it comes to the Vols.
Very true. Another good one today.
There's a new
Phil
wrinkle.
Fulmer. Yeah.
We could talk about that to start the third hour. Like I said, usually it's Tim Hasselbeck at the top of the hour, but he's going to get pushed back 15 minutes or so. So we'll probably be around 12:15. So we'll come back, hopefully also maybe hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel. But we'll tell you, Blake Topmeyer back at it again. This time his story is on a contract with the AD, Philip Fulmer. We'll do all that and more. Start the third hour. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5, The Game.
L-E-T-E-N-E-T. Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 100% match on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
Yeah, I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton?
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.